This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brought to you by BuyerSafety.com with the hotline, and your next chance to win $1,000 is coming up in just 15 minutes. But we get five more minutes of Broadus today to preview Saturday night on DFW Sports Station. What is your record now on the year? It makes me sick with all this success you're predicting.
12-5.
Ooh.
Listen to the confidence he just said.
Dirty.
12-5.
12-5. Yeah, but, you know, this team has given you some reason to give some hope, and they've also kind of disappointed you along the way. There were some matchups that have been very good for them, and then there are other matchups that have been kind of bad for them. And, you know, but the last 9 weeks, with the exception of the Colts game, and we all know what Indianapolis has been doing, this football team has been playing pretty well on really both sides of the ball.
So I heard you on G-Bag last week. They had to try to pull out of you which matchup you preferred. And I think you were slightly leaning towards the Rams over the Saints.
I was, yeah.
How do you feel about the way these two match up right now?
Well, you know, the Rams will present their own set of problems. And a lot of their problems will start really on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, I know that the numbers don't say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing that you've had trouble with has been pass protection, you know, the consistency of the pass protection. And you've had, trouble with protecting the football in the pocket at times. And, you know, even though that Dak Prescott has kind of righted the ship there a little bit, that still is very worrisome to me. You know, if, you know, you've got some potential matchups, especially inside, you know, and the more I go along this week, the more that I believe that Connor Williams will make the start at left guard for this football team. And, ooh, you know, that meaning that Suofilo is back at practice. He's on the field, but the coaches after last week have decided that, you know, this is the direction that we need to go. And so you look at where Wade Phillips on the other side of the ball will say, okay, where are his best players? And his best players are really at those at the defensive tackles, whether it's Aaron Donald, you know, or in Ndamukong Suh, you know, those are the two guys I think that he's going to try and match up. And so now if this is where it's going to hinge for the Cowboys, you know, Zach Martin, we all feel like is good enough to win whatever Phillips decides to put over on his side. You feel like, well, that could be a wash over there. Now, if they get in a situation where he's getting beat too, well, then this team's just going to lose the game.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be able to control the middle of the pocket. And we've all seen what happens when the middle of the pocket's compromised with Dak Prescott. So, they're going to have to figure out how the best way to play this. I don't think you can leave Connor Williams alone in this game. I think you have to be able to say, all right, are we going to be able to kind of keep Joe Looney's left eye over there and watch him as things go on? Because, again, if you're getting beat at right guard, then there's nothing you can do in this game. It's where you have to think out what's going on the left side. Now, we saw the sack that they gave up last week. They tried to man a twist stunt, you know, and that really didn't work out very well. So, you know, the Rams are a team that will twist their ends, you know, with Fowler. They'll work with Donald. They'll try and create problems for you by moving their front. So, you know, how well Connor Williams and Tyron Smith and Joe Looney and those guys sort out stunts is going to be another key in this game, because I think the Cowboys, they're going to try and run the football, and I think the Cowboys might have some success running the football, just because I feel like, though, that the Rams are such an upfield team. Teams have had some success trapping them, you know, letting them go up the field, letting them run by the play, and then trying to hit some quick things inside and take advantage of their up the fieldness there. So with a smaller set of linebackers, you get guys on these linebackers, then you got a chance to get the ball into the second level of the field, and that's where offenses have had some success.
So Wade Phillips will move. We will see Donald versus Zach sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Versus
yeah.
Connor sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. He's going to determine, you know, he's going to find your weak link on that offensive line. And, just by, if you watch the tape, you have to feel like the guy that potentially, if you're going to run 65 plays, who's the guy that's going to have three bad plays? It's probably not going to be your all-pro right guard. It's probably not going to be your all-pro left tackle. It's probably not going to be, you know, an up-and-coming right tackle. So he's going to figure out where, you know, that can I win with Sue beating both Looney and Connor Williams? That's kind of where I think that matchup is going to fall.
Is Sue still good, or is it more on name and reputation?
I think he's still good. I think when he wants to play, he could be a force. And that's where, you know, there's two different type of players. When Sue's going to beat you with power and just try and run you to the quarterback, whereas Aaron Donald's going to try and beat you on the first step. And, you know, if you don't handle Aaron Donald's first step, he's going to win. That's why he's got 20-some-odd sacks, because he generally will get a one-on-one situation, and then he will win with a swim move, or, you know, and he plays on the outside shoulder. I mean, he's not going to be a guy that's going to play inside shoulder. He plays outside shoulder. So it makes it hard for him to double him, because he's playing a little bit wider technique. But you have to find a way to at least slow him down. You figure with somebody that's as short as him that he would lose the football, and he really doesn't. I mean, he's really good at finding the ball, getting off blocks, and then getting in on the plays. That's the problem. But Sue, again, to answer your question, Sean, is he's still a powerful guy that you have to deal with in that regard.
And the thing about Donald, to me, I just can't wrap my head around. He looks so lean and thinner, and he sits there and runs through these dudes. Like, this isn't a 4-3 defensive end. He'll go around you, he'll go through you, and he just doesn't look like this big monster.
Well, he's really square. And, you know, when you look at him in person, I mean, I got up close and personal to him at the Senior Bowl when he was going against Zach Martin every day. And that was several years ago, but he's still the same type of player. He's built real low to the ground, and he's got an ability to, when he's rushing, he could get really small. And I mean small as like when he has to get through gaps and cracks and stuff. If you're not shoulder to shoulder with the blocker that you're working with, he will find a way to split the double team. That's the problem. Even when you feel like you've got him double teamed, he still finds ways to get to the quarterback. Now, there's people out there will say, well, you know, Broadus, I mean, he's had some games where he hadn't given up sacks or he hadn't gotten sacks. And yeah, that's true. That's absolutely correct. But there's also games where he's had 4 sacks and 3 sacks and 2 sacks and stuff like that. So, you know, it's something that they're going to have to deal with. Again, they can't just allow the middle of that pocket to be compromised in this game.
One more thing on the Rams defense for me. The corners. Now, they've had guys that Amari Cooper's faced quite a bit, and Peters and Tlaib when he was in the AFC West. How do those matchups look?
Well, Peters has been a guy that I think like is playing a little bit better than Tlaib. Mm-hmm. I think where Tlaib has had his problems, and I've gone back and I'm watching the Bears game, you know, I was kind of interested how the Bears moved the ball on them. And, you know, they did it really with the receivers did a great job of separating. I went back and even watched Amari Cooper play against Tlaib at Denver last year. And so, you know, that's where – you know, Tlaib was able to Cooper got knocked out in the game in Denver and didn't finish the game. But, you know, the routes that he was able to run, there is some separation there. I think that Tlaib has to worry about that separation. I think there were some times, like I said, that Chicago game where he lost where the receiver was. He lost the ball. And so, you know, Trubisky was able to make some plays down the field throwing the ball to these receivers. You know, when Tlaib was kind of like in that zone look and he's kind of just reading the quarterback but not reacting well enough. So I think if there's a guy to go at, and I know, again, the Tolo's out there saying, well, Broadus, you know, this guy, you know, Dak threw an interception to Tlaib, you know, last, you know, when they played Denver, you know, a couple years ago. And I think you have to sit there and say, well, you know what, that was probably a really bad pass that Dak threw. I just remember the pass itself going out there, and Tlaib was in great position. But he's clearly not the receiver – or excuse me, the corner that he once was. They're going to rely on their pass rush to try and get home. If you block their front, you know, we'll see what happened. Mahomes had success throwing the ball a ton on these guys just because they got the protection that they needed.
And I've seen Peters in watching the Rams when they're rolling this year get beat a lot. Like, I don't know if it feels like there's so many excuse me, there's so many names on this defense, and you said the numbers aren't showing it, but these were supposed to be a star tandem of corners,
right?
And it just feels like it's been a letdown.
No, it has been for them, and they felt like that they needed to kind of to shore up that area, and they went and got a couple of guys. And, you know, Peters, when he was with Kansas City, I thought was a much better player. You're not wrong. I just feel like that the guy that gives up the most plays is Talib. That's the one where I'm, like, sitting there thinking, okay, if a guy's having problems playing out of a zone, or if a guy's having problems with, you know, with receivers that create separation, you know, then attack that guy by all means. So, you know, the Cowboys are gonna, you know, they're gonna try, and it's gonna say, I'm gonna say it clichéically here, that they're gonna try and balance this thing. They really, really are. They're gonna try and say, okay, can we run the ball enough to set up some stuff in the play action game? You know, can we get some guys open down the field? I mean, I think it, more importantly than anything, time of possession and finish is going to be the key for the Cowboys in this one. I mean, you get in a situation where we look up at halftime and it's 6-3, one of those games like it was in Atlanta and New Orleans and all that.
Victory on that.
Yeah, then the Cowboys, that's exactly how they want this game to play. I don't think they want to get into a track meet.
Nope.
But they also have to realize, though, if it turns into a track meet, then they better be able to protect up front to get the ball out so they can get it out so these receivers can make some plays against these corners we're talking about.
Brought us all – most of these hires are, if you had any connection to Sean McVay, if you were in the same airport as him at one point, you're going to get hired.
Which hire would we think that would be? Which one? Is it the Kingsbury hire?
You know, the Cardinals put – Kingsbury's relationship with McVay in the press release.
As a friend.
LaFleur,
isn't LaFleur connected to him?
Yeah.
It just seems like a Sean McVay.
Well, all these offensive coaches kind of steal stuff from each other.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think that's where, you know, if somebody's moving the ball on another team, I think McVay, you probably looked at McVay and saw when he was at Washington, well, who was he stealing stuff from?
Right.
You know, I mean, John Gruden used to steal stuff all the time when he was with us in Green Bay. I mean, he would, you know, matter of fact, the whole West Coast game plan as far as screen packages, he stole from Bob Snelker with Darian Nelson at Minnesota. I know I'm throwing names out from back in the day, but these coaches take ideas from each other. You know, they go to clinics with each other. They spend time like 3 days in the spring. And so, you know, a lot of these coaches do have relationships. But I think what's happening in Arizona is that the Steve Wilks hire, that was unfortunate for him. Because to allow him 1 year, that's not – maybe he needed a better offensive coordinator. Maybe he didn't need Mike McCoy as the offensive coordinator there. But these organizations are putting so much into these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They're putting so much money. They're putting so much time. They're putting so much of their future in these quarterbacks that they kind of feel like that they have to go get a guy, you know, to – you know, Matt Rhule, the coach at Baylor, would have been a great hire with the Jets. Mike Maccagnan just didn't have the guts to do it because he's trying to save his job.
Right.
Because he drafted a quarterback third overall, and he's thinking, you know what, if I'm going to pay for my lake house here, I got to better find a way to keep my job for another year.
Yep.
And so he has to go hire a guy in Adam Gase. And if Adam Gase doesn't work out, well, what's going to happen to Mike Maccagnan? They're going to get rid of Mike Maccagnan, and the new GM's going to come in and evaluate Adam Gase that, well, maybe this guy isn't my guy. So I don't know if all these hires are tied to McVay. I think they're tied to owners and front offices trying to figure out how to maximize their quarterback's efficiency. I think that's what this really is all about.
But when you watch them on tape, like is his offense like any different and more unique and way on a different level than a lot of the other coaches?
Oh no, it's very creative in the way he plays. Mm-hmm. It's much like where he might be stealing some stuff from Sean Payton,
sure,
because Sean Payton's a very big eye candy guy. He's a let's put two guys in motion one way and then shovel the ball back the other way. You know, he's trying to create. It's like a Las Vegas offense. It's like we're trying to create sleight of hand, illusion. Let's wow the crowd with, ooh, that was neat. How do you do that? You know, and that's kind of where these offenses, you know, you look at these creative coaches and what they've been able to do is they're trying to create mismatches, but what they're trying to do is mask maybe a little some of the deficiencies that they have. You know, they try and say, okay, we're gonna set up trips to the right, and then what we're gonna do is run all three of those receivers across the field to the left, and then we're gonna bring We're going to bring the running back all the way back across and throw it underneath. This is what the Rams do. I mean, this is how
they have 11 personnel.
Yeah, this is how they get Todd Gurley involved. They flex Todd Gurley all the way out wide left, and then they run trips to the right, run all those guys inside and create chaos inside, and then make you run through the trash. And what happened? Todd Gurley's wide open. It's a real simple play to do. You know, it's really a creative way of getting guys open. So, yeah, I think – now, let me tell you this about Kingsbury real quick. The whoever he hires at offensive line coach is going to be the key hire here for him. Ooh. Because – and, Sean, you'll know this from living in the Washington area. When Spurrier took the job in Washington, what did the old ball coach do? He did seven-step drop. That offense was the fun and gun, Yeah, his line was, you know, well just block it. Whatever you have to do, block it. You know, seven-step drop, let's get our quarterback killed. But, you know, now he, you know, his offensive line coach is like saying, Steve, we can't run that play because we can't block it that way.
Yeah.
And his line was, well, just block it. Block it. Well, you just block the thing. And so, you know, that's kind of where I think that Kingsbury's at right now. Can his scheme, can he marry his scheme to pass protection to be able to play against these fronts and blitzes he's about to see? Yeah, he's going to want to throw the football. Absolutely. But if his offensive line coach is not good, then they can't protect, then his offense is going nowhere.
Are you in on quarterback, NFL quarterback Kyler Murray?
I am, you know, and I like, you know what, I think that the thing that in this day and age, what we're starting to prove in this league, and you look at what Baker Mayfield's done is, and, you know, some shorter quarterbacks have played pretty well. And this, if you can get the ball out of your hand quick and you've got a little bit of mobility to yourself, you know, they'll find a way to block a front so you can have your quarterback slide a little bit and throw the football. This guy's got a good arm. There's no question about that. He's tough to bring down. He's like tackling Jello. I mean, he's a tough guy to get to the ground, and he throws an accurate football. And, you know, you look at what he did in the second half against that Alabama defense, you know, a lot of us are going to be talking about him this spring is, well, this first round guy and this first round guy and this first round guy. You know, I mean, he had some success in the second half of that game, and I think that bodes pretty well if he wants to play in the NFL.
Fantastic stuff. Can't wait for the continued previews on DallasCowboys.com. He's on Twitter as well, at Brian Broaddus. Thank you, man.
Appreciate you, boys. Enjoy the game this weekend.
How good was that right there? Brian Broaddus, buyersafety.com hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.